Far Above Rubies by Netta Sirrett. By Netta Sirrett. Old Dr. Hillcrest's little house on the Bushbury Road, just outside Crewford Village, had a new tenant, and Crewford was shaken to its foundations with excitement and expectation. All Crewford had so long been led to the grave, as Briggs, the town crier, somewhat unfortunately expressed it, by old Dr. Hillcrest, and his spectacled nose and white beard had become such indispensable features in the village that the inhabitants were thrown into a state of incredulous amazement at the news of his projected retirement. Scarcely had they time to recover breath from the astounding intelligence before the newcomer was actually upon them. "A boy, a mere boy, too," as Miss Saunders exclaimed to another maiden lady, her bosom friend. "Scarcely 27, I should think. My dear Sophie, it is hardly delicate." Crewford, however, was not long in making the discovery that the young doctor was an acquisition. The children of Mr. Miles, the lawyer, who lived opposite Miss Saunders and were conveniently stricken with measles the very day of his arrival, disobediently flattened their noses against the windows to watch for his coming, and began to laugh before ever he shook his fist at them from the gate, and Miss Saunders herself implored her friend to have no scruples about consulting him for bronchitis. "He is steady as a churchwarden, my dear, and has the dignified manner of a man of 60, was her verdict. His little study in the small, old-fashioned house where his bachelor predecessor had lived so many years looked very pleasant and cosy one October evening, about a month after his arrival. The chintz curtains were close drawn, there were a bright fire, a pair of slippers warming on the rug, and a large armchair drawn up close to the fender, in which lay a half-smoked pipe. The doctor was taking books out of a large packing case and putting them onto the shelves which lined the room. When the last volume was in its place, he pushed the box aside, and sinking luxuriously into the big chair, took off his boots and thrust his feet into the warmed slippers. He dropped the boots with a thud beside the fender, stooped for his pipe, relighted it, and sank back with a sigh of relief, puffing contentedly. His eyes travelled about the room, resting now on a picture newly hung, now on the gay flowered curtains. The fire flickered and murmured softly, and little ruddy gleams danced on the wall, and bright sudden flashes were reflected in the old-fashioned, low-hanging glass opposite. Strong was pleasantly tired by the long day's round, and the little room seemed to him the embodiment of warmth and comfort. Lounging in the big chair, his head thrown back, his slippered feet thrust out towards the blaze, and his hands in his pockets, he gazed dreamily at the blue smoke wreaths from his pipe and allowed his thoughts to stray over the past few years. He was young. Miss Saunders had rather over than understated his age in putting him down as 27, but already he looked back upon much hard uphill work. The son of a poor clergyman, the education necessary to fit him for the profession of his choice, had been acquired at the price of much personal self-denial, and, as he also recognized, of considerable sacrifice at home. A troubled contraction of the brows was the outcome of a remembrance of his father's thin, stooping figure bending over his books in the shabby little library at the Devonshire vicarage.